And welcome to episode 352 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great.
Max suck.
Fuck you, man. Windows sucks. Breakman the Bold.
Windows 95, woo!
Yeah, Windows 95. Jesus Christ, man. And, of course, the Frosty One himself, the ever-loving Windows lover himself, Mug. What's up? What's up, dudes? How's it going? How's your week gone? Anybody?
It went.
It went
and it went and it's gone.
Yeah.
Weekend's here. Let's move on.
let's move on. Okay. I guess so, man. Everybody's had a shitty week except for me.
I haven't had a shitty week. I've had lots of sex.
Lots of sex. Male or female?
Was female. Anyone else invited?
I know. Was it an orgy?
No orgies, but there is a possibility of multiple partners simultaneously.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. We're going to have to
listen. Oh, both hands.
Nice.
Multiple fingers. All right, man.
Did you get DP then?
I have yet to be involved in any form of DP.
Look.
That is on the table.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
And neither
sounds
would
like
I.
Brake has a story for us tonight.
Neither
what?
Would I.
No.
Neither would I. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Anyways,
I'm not as good as a wink to a blind bet.
Anyways,
your wife, is she into photography? Yeah. Snap, snap, finger, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say more.
Anyways, we have a pretty cool show on tap for you guys. Like, I've always fantasized about dealing with a young Earth creationist, guys, and I had my opportunity a few days ago. So you guys are going to hear about that. I'm sure you guys will have plenty of questions for me, fellow co-host, and I shall divulge how this guy was pretty good, but I totally dismantled his fucking ass. So, anyways, let's get started with the news, Eric, and then we'll talk about young Earth creationists and other nonsense later. Eric.
Anyways, this is from Silicon Roo. I'm going to probably try to migrate towards Gematsu in the future.
Yeah, Silicon Air is kind of, I mean, their ads suck, man. We were just talking about that, weren't we, Mug? Like
yeah.
Literally, like right before we
anyways, got Steins Gate HD coming to PS4 as a first print bonus, Steins Gate Zero. I don't know why they spelled out the zero there, but whatever. Yeah. But,
because they're Japanese, and it's cooler that way, damn it.
No, and it's Silicon Era. The actual zero is supposed to be in the title.
Because it's Silicon Era, it's a bunch of weeaboos. I mean, it's still cooler that way, damn it.
Anyways,
matter of fact, I've heard they're going to redesign Silicon Era so that everything's going to be in katakana.
Oh, those fucking rebels.
And Punjabi, anyways. I heard.
And Punjabi, yes.
You just wanted to say Punjabi.
Damn right. Yeah. All right, Eric, go ahead.
Anyways, it says it runs at a higher resolution than the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions, which should be obvious. So I guess it's closer to the PC. But it doesn't have any trophies collected, which is odd, but whatever. Anyways, it'll be a download code that's included with the first print bonuses of Steins Gate Zero, which is a piece which is coming out for PS3, PS Vita, and the PlayStation 4.
Is trophy hunting still a thing, guys? Like, really don't know. Honest question. Like, that's still a thing. People still get games to hunt for trophies. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyways,
the thing is, it depends on the game.
Go ahead.
It says it has no plans to sell the HD alone, but I would probably expect to see it be sold in North America by itself digitally, and they'll probably throw in trophies just because why not?
Oh, just like achievements, there are still some people out there just trying to compete for the biggest score possible.
Yeah, but why? Like, there's
well, the thing if is, that's thing what they want to do, then let them do it. So what? Who cares? Yeah,
the funny thing about Steins Gate is that most of its achievements are met just by playing the game. The other ones are like extraneous CG collection stuff.
Or
seeing the other endings.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, as far as trophies and achievements and stuff go, I mean, it if they're well-designed trophies, where it's not like, you know, that, you know, let's make this as obnoxiously difficult to get as we possibly can. You know, genius. I don't mind. Yeah, and yeah, just where it's just like, you know, how much time can you sink into a game? You know, I don't mind going for those. I mean, it's, I'm not like, if I can get 100%, like get a platinum trophy, then sure, I'll do it. But I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to, you know, waste, you know, I'm not going to waste large chunks of my life doing it.
I agree with that. If I'm going through a game and I happen to get a trophy, then yippee me, you know, but I'm not, I don't look at the achievement list and like, oh shit, I can get that one or I can get.
I personally look at achievements a lot because I think it's something else to do in a game. It's something to shoot for.
I do have a soft competition going with a friend of mine on, you know, like PlayStation. You know, like we, you know, he's got more platinums than I do, several more. And including some that were, let's just face it, I'm never fucking getting, like Metal Gear Solid 4. Getting all the trophies in that game is really fucking hard. Mm-hmm. But my level is slightly higher than his just because I play like just more games in general. Mm-hmm. So it's like we have this thing. I'm like, you know, he'll message me, "Ha, platinum on this." I'm like, "You motherfucker," you know. And it's, but I mean, it's just good fun.
Yeah, Dunderbuster says, yeah, some achievements could be especially insane. I've never once like looked at it and like, oh man, I want a platinum. I have, you know, how many platinum trophies I've got? I've got zero, exactly zero fucking platinum.
I have
trophies.
A few. I've got the first one I ever got was Alone in the Dark Inferno, and which was actually a pretty decent game, much better than the original version because it actually controls decently well. Mm-hmm. I've got Assassin's Creed 2, and I don't have any of the other ones because after that they started adding multiplayer trophies, and fuck that. I've got both. I've got all three of the infamous platinum trophies. I've got God of War 3, which was probably the toughest one because I had to put some work into that one. But you know, it's like I've a couple others in there somewhere. Oh yeah, Prototype 2. I've got that one. You know, but the thing is, it's like if they're really, really hard to get, and you know, it's like if I start getting frustrated trying to get a trophy, then I'm just like, eh, whatever, fuck it.
I don't waste 2 seconds getting trophies. I could care fucking less, man. Like I look at some of my friends. Like I have very few friends. I'm Frank Branch is on PlayStation Network and Xbox, which I haven't been on Xbox in a while. But if anybody wants to add me, feel free to do so. But I never look at those and say, wow, that guy's got a lot of trophies, or shit, I don't have hardly any trophies. Like these things just don't. If I happen to get them, I happen to get them. Whatever.
Well, depending on the game, when you see someone with a really like in like a multiplayer shooter with a really expansive trophy list, you're like, that guy's probably pretty good at this game. Mm-hmm. My KD ratio is gonna suck. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I suck at video games in general anyway, so you know.
And that's the real crux of the story.
Major crux of the story. Like it's embarrassing. Like I find it completely like you know, I'm just like whatever, you know. I play games to have fun. You know, if you're having fun going to collect trophies, then more power to you, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like people bitch about it constantly and like if they're, you know, if nobody's making you do it. I mean, if you're
exactly, I mean, nobody is making you do it, and that's how I've always felt about it. Like I've always thought it's like it's just another goal within a game, and if you really like the game, fuck, why not?
Yeah, well, I mean, because
it gives you something to try for. If you don't get it, you don't get it. I mean, I've got a ton of achievements like that. I just like, God, this was too hard. I give up.
Yeah, this is my feeling on the whole matter. Like, why go achievement hunting when there are so many video games out there that you could play? You know, that's how I feel. Dungeon Buster says,
I know, but then like, I play games and I play games and I play games. Like, you know, the same game over and over and over again. I tend to do that a lot.
And so do I, but in, you know, like.
Oh, come on. Come on, Frank. You didn't play Halo 4 for like 2 years straight.
I don't think I've ever played Halo 4 at all, ever.
Dungeon Master. You're going to listen to Halo 5 with me.
I played a little bit of Halo 4. I was like, this is pretty, but I'm just like, you know, I think I'm going to play it out with Halo.
Play 5.
Dungeon Buster says, I don't need a damn attaboy. I want some armor, a weapon, or something that made it feel worthwhile. See, now, if they did that, like, if they – if
they do that. They kind of do that with the Xbox. Like, some games have not only achievements, but they have, like, avatar prizes you can win. Like different shirts and tricks for your avatar, you know?
All right, fuck that. I want shit in-game. Like, if I get a trophy – like
that's even kind of better than in-game because that's, like, stays with you no matter what game. And if you go – and there are certain games that are avatar games, in which case you can wear your cool shirt or hoodie into that game.
Yeah, that's avatarded is what that is, man. Avatar. All right, let's move on, Breakman. What do we got next?
That was a big sigh. That's what you get. I don't even know.
Come on, that was good.
What story were you on? We were on that forever. We're only in the second one. Okay.
Second story, yes.
Okay, coming to us from Silicon Era. I don't know if it's live, dead. I don't care. Idea Factory International wants Hyperdimension Neptunia.
Skipped
a story.
That was the third story.
You son of a bitch.
It's the second one I have.
You're a son of a bitch. You skipped it. Just go ahead and go with the idea.
Go ahead. I'll get the
Loaded that link. I'm sorry. I missed it.
Yeah,
anyway. Ready to help one of your favorite console goddesses prepare herself for the world. I'm sorry. Something on the throat. No bad joke. Shut up. Idea Factory International is looking for Hyperdimension Neptunia Re semicolon birth colon V generation. Beta testers to put the PC version of the game through its paces. Those who apply will be able to play the game from August 24th to September 10th. And yes, the game is called Hyperdimension Neptunia Re semicolon birth colon V generation.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, nobody else is like, God, that's a terrible name.
No, it's pretty terrible, dude.
It's a pretty terrible name. It's just, whatever.
People can register by filling out
the thing about the title has worn us out.
Yeah, okay, good point. They can register on the survey. People who apply will be told if they're selected on August 19th, so you better hurry up because it's the 14th as of our recording. Here are the minimum system requirements. Windows 7 64-bit, Core 2 Duo 2.66 gigahertz, DirectX 10 or OpenGL 3.3, DirectX version 10, memory 4 gigabytes of RAM, sound card DirectX 9. Wait, what? Whatever. HD hard drive, 7 gigabytes. Holy shit. It's a lot of game. Caution. Well, I guess that's kind of the normal anymore. It's been a really while
since. It's not a lot compared to, let's say, Arkham Knight
or WoW, now that I think about it, because that every time they added a patch to it and shit, it was just more shit for you to download.
Yeah.
The recommended specs are Windows 7, 3 gigahertz Intel i3, DirectX 10, or OpenGL 3.3. 6 gigabytes of RAM, DirectX version 10, sound card DirectX 9, so that's the same with sound card, still 7 gigabytes. And there's caution, ATI Mobility Radeon HD5XXX 1 gigabyte VRAM 5000 series may not work with this game.
Mm-hmm. Right. At least for
it's
now.
Untested on Windows 10.
Yippity-doo, more Windows specs. How exciting. Yay.
I'm just for the people who want to sign up. You know, they're going to need to know what the specs are. I don't want them to waste their time. Like if I tell them now before they run out and go home, you know, maybe they're excited. Like I'm gonna go home and
I'll
see.
I'll tell
it.
You if your play computer it. Can play a game like Metal Gear Rising Revengeance fine, then you could probably play this.
Yeah. The problem with that break is that reading off, like, you know, it's one thing to actually sit and read PC specs, but reading them off, like, out loud, it's just like, it just very quickly becomes random noise. Okay, I mean, that's you know,
well,
that's not
that
me
might
giving
be just
you
because
shit.
I was talking.
No,
well,
it's not, I was going to say, it's nothing specifically about you. It's just like, you need this and this and this and this and.
Speaking of Unity, I wonder how long it'll take for it to end up on PS Plus.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Moving along. Coming to us live from some ad-based site, a shiny Rayquaza. I don't give a shit if I'm pronouncing that right at all. A Rayquaza is up for grabs in Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I've got to buy it. I've got to buy it. Chimpokomon.
Oh,
following the shiny Rayquaza giveaway earlier this week in Australia, those of you in North America can Those of you in North America can now get your hands on the same shiny Rayquaza in Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. The shiny Rayquaza can be yours by simply picking the mystery gift option at the main menu of Pokemon Omega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire, which, of course, you bought both. Then select Receive Gift, then Get via Internet. Once you do, you'll get yourself a shiny new shiny Rayquaza, which you can then get from the delivery
girl. A shiny new shiny Rayquaza.
Yes,
Mug, you are.
Do not interrupt. Do not interrupt me again, or I will rip your throat out.
You are a fucking walking fucking South Park fucking figure, dude. Like you, when you're talking like that, dude, I can think nothing. But South Park,
that's the point. That's why I'm doing this. Anyway, which you can get from the delivery girl at the nearest Pokemon Center. Your new shiny Rayquaza will also have Dragon Ascent, a move that lets it mega evolve. Currently, no end date is known for obtaining the shiny Rayquaza.
Oh boy!
Actually, there is an end date.
What's the end date?
It's from whenever this started, which I think was the. Yeah, it's from, I think, yesterday. To a month from now.
Mm. Okay. Well,
I've got to buy a ticket. I've got to buy one. A ticket. I've got to buy.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't watched South Park in a long time.
This was like season 3.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that was also a long time, so I can't remember that either.
All right. Let's move on. I guess I'll read the next one. Let me get rid of that stupid Pokemon story. All right, this one comes to us from another ad-filled site named Destructoid.com. Sometimes Always Monsters is the follow-up to Always Sometimes Monsters. What?
And a sequel to Definitely Maybe.
Yeah, Definitely Maybe Monsters.
That'll be the next game.
Vagabound Dog.
There is a movie called Definitely Maybe.
Yeah. Vagabound Dog has announced a follow-up to its 2014 drama game Always Sometimes Monsters, confusingly titled Sometimes Always Monsters. The game appears to be a second attempt at tackling real-life problems such as racism, police brutality. Ooh, that's interesting.
And apparently bipolar.
Yeah, I mean, does it end by just getting rid of all of our police officers all at once? That'd be great. As with the first game, Sometimes Always Monsters will be presented through a branching narrative with an emphasis on consequence, circumstance, and choice. First game went to some really dark places, exploring the likes of homophobia, child abuse, and drug addiction. While many praised the game, some people did have concerns about its handling of some topics. We don't know much other than the teaser trailer and the plot summary on the Vagabond Dog website, but here's hoping they can pull off the topics they want.
It looks like they ditched the RPG Maker engine for a new one.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next. I'm interested.
I learned two things from that story. First off, the creator couldn't think of a title. And second off, Frank wants total anarchy in this world.
You know what? Not anarchy, just less police killing us.
No, you said eliminate all police. Like, that
simultaneously,
would be total,
yep.
That'd be all anarchy, man.
He never said forever. He just said the ones that are.
Exactly. Thank you, Eric. Just get rid of what we got right now. I like Mug's idea of getting rid of them in waves. That'd be a little more sensible, I think. But anyways.
Yeah, that'd work a lot better than just all of a sudden there's no cops. Woohoo! Riot, baby!
You know what? Sometimes I think we would be better off in an anarchist society, man. The way the cops are, it kind of makes you wonder. But anyways, break. Next story.
Yay me! Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Fans reimagined Final Fantasy VII as a 2D action game.
Yeah, that's cool.
Really?
Yeah.
A group of Final Fantasy VII fans have been working on turning the game into a 2D action. That's how it's written. I'm going to read it again. A group of Final Fantasy VII fans have been working on turning the game into a 2D action game under the title.
On a turning.
Yes. Because there's not enough fan filleting of Final Fantasy VII already.
I know. I don't understand it. I mean, I understand the
fans say that they thought back to classic side-scrolling games such as Dungeons & Dragons.
Jurassic Park.
No, as it's written here, Dragons and Dungeons, yeah. Chronicles of Mysteria, Mystara, and Streets of Rage when coming up with the idea. We thought about how we could incorporate some of the Final Fantasy VII gameplay elements, such as materia and summoning of Guardian Force, into a hack and slash genre. They wrote
Watch
on their website.
Get C&D, they'll turn it into something else.
It looks pretty cool. I mean, check out. I mean, if you haven't checked it out, check out Final Fantasy VII Reimagined on YouTube.
And there's a trailer and a playable demo coming soon.
Yeah,
and God knows what coming soon is. Coming soon is the most vague statement in the history of games.
I hate it, dude. Like, I think.
Although apparently they're giving it for free, so apparently yeah. Square might not go after them.
Well, that's the thing. Square's, they're well known for going after anything that uses their properties. They don't remember like that. What was it? Crimson Echoes.
The unofficial
sequel.
It was a ROM hack, so it might have been a different case.
Yeah. Oh, Chrono Resurrection. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was complete.
This might be different because they're giving it away for free, though.
Yeah.
Some
and
of those things are trying to profit.
Using their own creative engine to do it.
I mean, that's what they did with Chrono Resurrection, and they CND'd the hell out of that.
Yeah, I know. Most of those were for free, but there were some there.
That was a ROM hack, though. They used
Chrono Resurrection was the 3D game.
Yeah, but they were. I think they were planning on selling that.
I don't know, but I mean, yeah, but Square's, Square's is like very much the opposite of Capcom.
Yeah.
You know, Capcom's like, as long as you're not selling it, we don't really care.
All right.
In fact, Capcom will work with those people sometimes. I mean,
try to take the credit, even though they did shit.
I mean, basically, the Megas are making a career out of using their music. Making a rock career out of it. And instead of like a cease and desist, they invited them to be on one of their video game soundtracks.
Mega
to make
Ran.
The soundtrack of the games. What's that?
Yeah.
Protoman and Mega Ran, of course, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Mug. Let's go with the next story.
All right, coming to us live from the same damn site. feel my enthusiasm. Sword Art Online.
You're so unenthusiastic, you crashed my page.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Sword Art Online. Lost Song to be released this November in the West. Bandai Namco announced that Sword Art Online Lost Song is headed to the West with the announcement of a European release date of November 13th, 2015. According to Bandai Namco Europe, the upcoming PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita title will be released on November 13th in Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and Australasia. While we haven't had an official announcement for the North American release, the official website has the game listed for a release date of November 17th, 2015. Sword Art Online, Lost Song, will feature Japanese voiceover with English, French, Italian, German, and Spanish, and Punjabi subtitles.
Yes!
You just wanted to say Punjabi.
Yes!
Yeah. Here are some extra details provided by Bandai Namco. Journey into the world of Alfheim Online for the very first time. Join Kirito as he ventures online to explore the smart Alfheim. Okay.
Fuck Shart that Gary Stu.
Join Kirito as he ventures online to explore Shart Alfheim, the brand new area of Alfheim Online. The floating is comprised of continents.
Of mustard and ketchup and mayonnaise.
Yes. The floating is comprised of continents led by the floating city of Rhine. This original storyline, I very much doubt that adjective applies, includes new and returning characters and exclusive environments in the ultimate virtual reality universe. Mm-hmm. Sword Art Online, Lost Song, features all new aerial battles and like Dragon Ball, and plenty of customization features like Fallout.
Fallout.
Link's start into. Okay, I guess that's supposed to be one word. Like when you're one, combined concept. Link's start into the Sword Art Online world and join your favorite dual wielding player, Kirito, on his greatest adventure yet. Explore, land in air, walk or fly throughout the world of Alfheim and soar through the skies around the floating.
If I play this game, I'm definitely not playing as Kirito because I hate him because he's a Gary Stu and he's perfect at everything.
Create your hero. Play as Kirito or other key characters from Sword Art Online, including Leva and Asuna, or create your own customizable avatar. New adventures. Experience a completely new adventure and story in Alfheim Online in a new area of the world, Shart Alfheim.
Did you say the name of the characters? Asuna?
Yeah, Asuna.
Asuna.
Asuna. Yeah. I know. I saw the first season.
Which is funny because another character called Sinon's real life name is Asuna, and there's another Asuna that shows.
That's it. Say goodbye to your ability to speak. Explore the world with up to three other friends in co-op play, or take to online battle with multiple PvP modes.
The longest fucking story ever, dude. Like, honestly, man, these stories, like, I mean, there's a bunch of features.
What's
really
funny is that I'm actually speaking very quickly. I know, and yet it's weird. Just padded out.
The funny thing about it is like, really, a game has new features? Like, to me, like, why is that a story? I don't understand. Like, just say it's got a bunch of cool new features here.
You know, instead of telling a game has new features, they just say, well, there's no new features if it doesn't have new features.
Right. There's no, you know, either.
Because then it wouldn't sell. That's cool.
This is basically like
to advertise it. Yeah.
Imagine this kind of thing when they were doing like NES sequels, like the original Ninja Gaiden 1 versus right. Ninja Gaiden 2. This time you can climb up any surface.
Right.
This time you can use special arts from the walls. And and this time you have
new arts.
Phantom doubles.
Or yeah, like the first
doubles.
Time
you have, and you have a ninja
triples,
art that aims,
not just doubles.
Yeah. Or like the first time
you have a ninja art that aims down.
Right.
in a
first person shooter, and now you can walk sideways. You know, like, and now you can peek behind doors and like I don't know. I just come on, man.
Featuring blind fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if they're going to list off new features, they should list off features that people demanded in the first game.
Yeah. Or either like in RPGs, and this time you can cast fire spells. It's like, come on, man. Jesus
featuring
Christ.
A lava dungeon. Yeah, a water exactly.
Not one, not two, but three party members. Oh my God.
Climb a mysterious mountain. Gain a mysterious power.
Go and
defeat your mysterious enemy. The end.
Call now 1-800-BIO.
I don't know. I just get disillusioned.
Better yet, if we do it with the, you know, enter the water dungeon.
Oh my God!
Enter,
don't do that.
But then instead of 1-800, then it's dial 1-900 by game.
Like it's a sex line or something. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, maybe this next story will have some sex lines in it from Silicon
Valley. Oh, I think it will.
Omega Labyrinth has some.
I haven't gone yet. You know that, right?
I skip around. Don't worry, Eric. I'll get to you, man. Maybe I'll make you do two in a row. Omega Labyrinth.
No, he gets to read the rest.
Yeah. Frank wants this one for himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Because it has some cheeky DLC items at a first print. As a
we
first
talked
print
about bonus. This game last week, by the
we
way.
We did. Oh, I like these bonuses.
That's a fucking Hitachi wand.
Yes, it is. It's not even trying to disguise it.
Right.
Like, it's dead on.
Omega Labyrinth.
Vibe.
Omega Labyrinth, which we talked about last week, the voluptuous Omega Labyrinth is an upcoming roguelike by D3 publisher. Well, you'll go on an adventure in order to make protagonist Aina Kamiya's wish of breast enlargement come true. Official website shares a first look at the game along with its first print bonus items. The above is a look at the mighty, quote, electric massager lance, which is
okay, and if, before you go any further, I have to just say, and people will have to forgive me for this, but it has to be done. And it ain't no lie, baby. Vibe, vibe, vibe.
Oh, God.
Electric massager lance, in quotes. Dildo. Anyways, which is said to have the shape of something that requires a bit of courage to buy. And once you start using it, you won't be able to stop, ladies.
I
could see ladies might really enjoy that. The quote.
Oh, I've seen ladies really enjoy it.
Right. The quote.
You have to be careful with that because if you do it too much, you wind up relying on it and not being able to defeat the enemy without having that particular weapon.
Right. That's exactly right. The quote hip shield is a shield that has the warmth and softness of skin when you touch it. The two come bundled together as a set. As part of the – God damn the fucking editing in this stupid articles. First print bonus for the game. It's a roguelike game. When your leader, character, and partner gets defeated in the dungeon, they both lose their equipment. However, if you use the electric massager lance or hip shield, they can be repurchased at the game so you won't have to worry about losing them for good. Boy, oh boy. Boob appraisal system in this game. I'm interested in seeing what? Gameplay.
What'd you say?
There is a boob appraisal system.
Yep.
Oh my God, finally! I've asked for that
the entire
that's
purpose,
so sexist. Why would they put something like that in a game?
If the entire purpose of this is so that these girls can get breast enlargement, I guarantee you their tits will get bigger as they level up.
Oh, this is...
God, yes, yes. This is the game of... I mean, this is such a misogynistic... This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm glad you caught on to it, Brake, because this this is going to be one of the worst games of all time.
yes, I'm pre-ordering it right now.
This is called Kusoge.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with what we were just talking about.
The thing
about.
Is, it actually might not be a Kusoge. It actually might be a good game, just with extremely ridiculous.
The theme is ridiculous.
Hey, this has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, but where can one purchase this game, guys? Seriously.
I like the Shield Show's buck
crack. November 19th, it says.
Yeah, it basically...
But I guess if you wanted to import it, you could go to a site like PlayAsia.
Oh, really? I'm... Play Asia. Okay.
There's a hyphen between Play hyphen and Asia there, between, by the way. Just
hyphen
so you know.
Between Play and Asia. Okay, got it. Yeah, if anybody...
You might want to wait for word for an Asian version with English text.
Right, right.
Because there's a game called Mobile Chronicle. It's kind of like
processing.
This.
Yeah. If
anybody, that's mine.
If anybody is interested in getting this at play/Asia, you know, that's the website to go to.
Your page for it's up yet.
Anyways, for the audience who don't know what these special things are, basically...
Oh, it is. Never mind. There's a link right below.
It's a wand.
If you want to know what the weapon looks like, just Google Hitachi wand.
Yeah. Yes. But
you may want to keep safe search on.
Looks like a dildo, and then the shield looks like an ass with a thong on it, like a woman's ass.
And it's showing a little bit of butt crack.
A little bit with the heart,
because apparently that's sexy. Everybody wants some crack.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on. Eric, go for it.
Okay, this is from Destructoid, not Silicon Era. Anyways, so SRPGs Rainbow Skies and Rainbow Moon are coming to the PS4. So SideQuest Studios has just announced that both Rainbow Skies and a port of 2012's Rainbow Moon will be coming to the PS4 in 2016. The former is still in development, and to add some consistency, will be released alongside its predecessor. They will apparently support cross-save, so yay. Because I don't think Rainbow Moon on the PS Vita or PS3 had cross-saving.
Well, that's good, at least.
Mm.
So I wonder if they're going to add that to those versions as well. But says it includes a better dialogue system, more complex narratives, because the story for the original was just boring as shit, and I didn't even finish it because it felt like a very overly long game with very little reward to keep playing. And the controls for the combat were just weird. They completely switch it up a lot, and it's not consistent.
This game just makes me want a Rainbow Six strategy RPG.
Yeah.
Because I was always terrible at Rainbow Six, so, you know, I like it and the concept of it, and I'm just always a victim.
Yeah,
I'm the guy they yell at on the mic. Breakman, you goddamn moron!
Oh, I think there was a game
that's what my mom calls me.
I think there was
Breakman,
a game.
Because she calls you Breakman or she calls you goddamn moron?
Both.
Okay. I think there was a game that was released at the launch of the 3DS that might have been a Tom Clancy game. But it was a strategy RPG, and apparently it was good despite the source material.
Mm-hmm. All
sometimes
right.
That happens.
Yeah.
Like there's a Gamera game for PlayStation that's awesome. Yeah. Despite
Gamera?
Gamera.
No, it's just it's more like a game that you really wouldn't expect to translate well to strategy RPG, and apparently it did.
Oh, I see.
All right,
not Gamera.
What do we got next?
We've got another Destructoid.
Yeah, but that's Break. Go for it.
I thought Eric wanted to read it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Eric.
We've got Legend of Legacy dated with bonus launch edition, more like first print edition, but okay. It says you can get your hands on Legend of Legacy from developer Furyu on October
13th. Developer Froyo. Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Furyu.
As long as it has nothing to do with
Well, for you too.
Anyways, and a sports special launch edition will come with a box with that contains a
hardcore cover.
Yeah. Anyways, art book, a 10 song soundtrack. Ooh, a sampler. But oh well. You think they're going to? I guess the big book. They had to choose between a big book or the complete soundtrack, and they want the big book. But it'll be limited to pre-orders and a small amount of launch day copies. Otherwise, you can get it digitally on the eShop for $40. Whereas if you buy the physical version, it'll be $50. Apparently. Oh wait, it says it's the same price.
Oh well, that's a fucking deal then. Mm-hmm. For $39.99, this is one of the best values I've seen. As far as like the pack ins and stuff, usually it's like $70 at least.
If you're getting swag though, why are they charging the same for digital? It makes more sense to charge more for additional product.
Mm. Unless you're getting like a
Don't complain.
Digital swag.
Nobody mentioned this to them.
I don't think
nobody mentioned this. Maybe they didn't know.
I don't think this game has any DLC. Mm. And I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't think they were aware of this, but the game isn't $50, and there's no Atlas tax here, like there was with Persona Q.
That's good. That's a plus. Right on.
Or Shin Megami Tensei 4. I think that was also $50.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's cool, man. It's a nifty little package there, available.
Yeah, for $40, I think that's a fucking good deal.
Yeah, for sure.
Usually, like, you know me, like, I complain about every package deal we have on here.
Yeah,
like,
no.
It's usually like it's some stickers or like a fan art or some bullshit. But this one's like a soundtrack and an art book.
Oh,
and
God, the Persona 4 golden stickers. That was just why. Well, it's like you're making a special edition. And that's like the best item you can give us.
Well, that's the thing. When it comes to packages, Brake's biggest thing is that they have to be large and well stuffed.
Yeah, exactly. Round and firm.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Right. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Let's move on to the last story, Brake Man.
Coming to us live from Destructoid.
Hey, hang on. Is this? Yes, it is. I have to do this. Who's the black private dick that's the sex machine to all the chicks?
Get out of here, son of a
black
bitch.
Holmes!
Get out of here.
There's a black Holmes thing?
Hadaful boyfriend, creator reveals black Holmes. Like, Hadaful? What the fuck is Hadaful?
It's like, it should be heartful. Is what
hateful
it actually...
boyfriend.
Mm. Yeah.
He slaps me.
Well, it's kind of like a double entendre. It's supposed to be hurtful boyfriend as well.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Go ahead.
No fun bird dating, just cruel murder. As a creator of everyone's favorite bird dating sim, I said favorite like that because they spelled it favourite.
You have to do favorite.
Favorite.
No,
favorite. Favorite. Okay, I got it. Favorite. Bird dating simulator, Hateful Boyfriend, because he's an asshole, has announced its brand new game by the name of Black Holmes. She's not allowed to have male friends or anything.
Shut your mouth.
Shut up.
He keeps tabs on her. He's got cameras throughout her house.
I'm just talking about Black Holmes.
Hadamoa. Wow.
Yeah.
Hadamoa announced the game through official website for Black Holmes, which is totally in Japanese. Thanks for announcing that. Thanks to the magic of Google Translate, we know a bit more about how this is tackling.
More like they deciphered what stories. Its Babelfish translation said.
It doesn't look from this image that Sherlock Holmes is actually black, so they're going to really need to change the title if they want to bring this out in the U.S. or actually make him black. Right. 1989 London, dazzling light.
Or they'll just call him Dark Holmes.
Dark Holmes.
Honky Holmes.
Dark homie.
Whitey Holmes. 1889 London, dazzling light, prosperity, and civilization has brought drop the well-colored shadow to society. Dazzling Light, Prosperity, and Civilization has brought dropped a well-colored shadow.
This is Google Translation.
Malicious people and stagnation had undergone a deepening. Human history and criminal history, just like coins of both sides. Crime in response to the evolution of civilization also go increasingly diverse. This is a detective that has been fascinated with the art of serving crime that gave birth to mankind. He to do our crime king of the story.
Aye, 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 man. This is horrible. Let's just skip this shit.
There's
man.
More. There's more.
No, there isn't.
Somebody needs to create some kind of, like, app that will un-English the horrible translations Google Translate does.
Dear Google Translate, thank you. Just thank you.
It should be called Google Localized, the new app.
Some of you know I got out of condition a few years ago. I mean, you got fat. That's the reason why I couldn't work on as many projects as I'd done before.
In other words, she got sick.
Mm. Well, the way it's written, it sounds like she got fat and just couldn't. Her fingers were too big to program, I guess.
the wow episode of South Park.
Yeah. Yes, I'm almost recovering from illness and back to my projects. I'll keep telling you the progress.
Anyways,
translate. Thank you.
I'd like to mention some things that were in the Silicon Era article that actually explained a bit more about the game, because it sounds like they actually did a deciphering of what those
were talking
about.
Quickly, Eric, let's get through this shit. What's going on?
It says, the Silicon Erica article said that Holmes's character is apparently an atheist and a logician.
Hmm. You know, logician.
Good luck coming out in the United States, then. Yeah, that's not going to play very well here, I don't think.
I'm sure it will.
I don't know.
What else? They can localize the game and not make that fact relevant in the press release. Yeah, and then when you play the game, you find out.
Hmm. All right, is that it, Eric, or we good to go?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, then I see down here you have Pandora's Tower on the Wii U as a digital Wii download. No story. Yeah,
that happened this week.
But that's cool. That rocks. Pandora's Tower is pretty cool.
From what I heard, the way – and my conclusion based on everything I've read is that – when a virtual console game or otherwise gets put on the eShop, it has to go through Nintendo, and they have the final say whether or not a game gets put on there. So even if a third party comes and wants to put a game on there, they can't do it unless Nintendo says so. Because the way virtual console, especially in the case of virtual console, because the way it works is they have to actually make a new emulator shell for each game that gets put on there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of proprietary in that way.
Dungeon Buster says, thank you for selecting Google
Advanced. It's not as simple as just getting around finding it and putting it on the store.
Thank you for selecting Google Advanced Translation. What quality of level of localization would you like? 1980s, 1990s, 2000 to 2005, and 2005 to now. Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't get that good quality.
For the hell of it, I put that into Google Translate. Translated it to Japanese and then back to English. Google advanced the translation. Thank you for choosing which quality level of the hope of localization. The 1980, 1990, 2000 to 2005, and 2005 now.
That's awesome. All right, homie discounts quickly, Eric. Homie discounts.
There's some PSN stuff. Yeah. I think Square's having a sale on a couple of games on the store.
Square's, if
this
if
one's old, one, I need to delete it. Hmm.
I was going to say, if it's the same one they had running earlier this week, like Square ran a big promotion. They dropped like prices on a bunch of stuff. I actually picked up the Third Birthday. And there was like Capcom was doing a big sale on everything Devil May Cry related.
Sweet. All right. Well, cool. Any Twitter questions?
I actually have discount.
Discount?
Yes. Okay. Hyper Dev Box. I'm not very familiar with them. I haven't played any of their games, actually. They make several RPGs. All of their games are on sale now for about 30 to 50% through the 17th.
All right. That's a good
one. So from the videos and stuff I was looking at, it looked like they're actually really good quality games. Like, I just never played them.
On Steam or where?
No, this is Google Play.
Google. Oh, Google Play.
These are Android games.
Android games, okay.
Those are the only sales I ever mentioned. Just, I didn't think I had to mention it anymore.
Oh. As if there are any good mobile games.
Yeah, there are some.
Man, my addiction to Final Fantasy Record Keepers disagrees with you.
Yeah, and my addiction
to Plants vs. Zombies, too.
I was going to say, remember, I was the one who told who got you to play Plague Inc., so.
Also a great game.
Mm. All right, any Twitter questions?
There are some. There's Twitter comment here. I thought I saw something from Freak 5, but I don't see anything now. Maybe I was just hallucinating. But we do have something from Flabby Sausage, our friend here.
Right.
Has a question for us.
Ooh,
thank you, Flabby Sausage, for not ever being inappropriate. We appreciate that. Flabby Sausage just got a PS4 in anticipation of Fallout 4. What should I get in the meantime? I can't wait for Fallout 4. Oh, my God, that looks amazing.
You know what? I'm not one to speak on this because I myself don't have a PS4, but things that look interesting to me, despite the BS with Warner Brothers, the Batman game looks phenomenal.
Pick up the Game of the Year edition of Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, Last of Us looks interesting on there.
Yeah, if you haven't played it already, get The Last of Us.
Yeah, Last of
pick
Us.
Up Infamous Second Son. You can get it. You know, it's been out for a little while, so you can get it on the cheap now. If you're into the Dragon Age games, check out Dragon Age Inquisition. It will hold you for a good long while.
I would also recommend the Final Fantasy X-2 HD remix thing that they got going on. That looks interesting to me. If you haven't played Final Fantasy X or you want to revisit it, I'm gonna pick it up when I get a PS4. But
although you could just get the PS4 version, just wait till the patch is done.
Yeah. What else, guys?
I don't think the PS4 version is on sale though.
There's not a ton of RPGs I would really, that really look interesting, which is probably the main reason I don't have a PS4 at the moment. But pretty soon there'll be some upcoming Dragon Quest stuff. I think Dragon Quest 11 is coming out. I think we mentioned that last week. What else, guys? Any other recommendations on the PS4 that we could?
Well, they're getting Street Fighter 5.
If you're into fighting games, Guilty Gear Xrd is really crazy awesome. The Metal Gear Solid 5, I mean, now you can pick up Ground Zeroes for next to nothing. And Phantom Pain is coming out in like 3 weeks.
The only Xbox One game I'm actually looking forward to is coming out next year.
The only one I really want is Quantum Break.
There's a couple of Xbox
I don't even know
One
Quantum
specific
Break
games I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
it probably won't.
Probably not, but I'm not in any hurry to get an Xbox.
Oh, Dungeon Buster brought up Bloodborne. Yeah, make sure you get
Bloodborne. Yeah, Bloodborne is definitely good. It's if you like the Dark Souls games, it's basically Dark Souls with a much darker.
I just don't know if I have the time or patience for them right now.
How can it get much darker than Dark Souls? Like, I don't – that man, that
– Oh. Yeah, trust me.
I'm drowning in reviewed code on a constant basis.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Bloodborne is really fucking hard.
Yeah. Well, most of those games are hard, but
yeah.
Is it a fair hard though?
Yeah. I mean, it's the Dark Souls type of hard. You know, it does not. You know, it takes absolutely no pity on you. You have to get good at it to succeed.
All right. Okay. So anything else?
There are
else
some break? Places you can cheese the game though.
Yeah,
which is fine. I mean, for games that unforgiving, like there has to be those type of things. But what? Anything else? Break on Mm-mm. Twitter. Okay. Well, there you go, Flabby. Hopefully, that gave you a one up on what to get on the PS4 via these guys that have the PS4.
Oh, and also a couple other things. If you're looking for like an action RPG ish kind of thing, both Bastion and Transistor are available for download.
Oh, Bastion's a great game. We had Kasavin on to talk about Bastion. Bastion's really good. Yeah.
And if you like Infamous Second Son, you can also pick up Infamous First Light, which is a standalone DLC type thing, which is surprisingly really good.
All right, there you go. All right, let's move on to what we've been playing real quickly. I've been playing my used Marvel Puzzle Quest. I mean, I haven't done anything major in it because, like, it's really hard to get, like, special powers for your character. So whenever that happens, it's like a momentous occasion. I think.
How did all my stuff get deleted from what I've been playing?
I have no idea, Eric. What have you been playing, Eric?
Pretty much just Dungeon Travelers 2.
Alright. What about you, Break?
I haven't played anything new. Same old, same old.
Yeah. That's like me, man. I mean, I think I'm going to stop mentioning what I've been playing unless I accomplish something major in a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same stuff for me. Like, I just keep playing the same games over and over again. Yeah. You know, like, if I play Halo, I'm going to probably play Halo for months and months, you know?
Dungeon Buster says Dark Souls equals you have a shield, Bloodborne equals...
In other words, Breakman's a total bro.
All right, Mug, what have you been playing?
The only game I've really had a chance to start playing was The Third Birthday. I've only just gotten started with it. And since I'm playing it, I'm playing on the PS Vita TV, and so I can actually, like, map the other, you know, the right stick to the camera controls. So that works pretty well. And
I hope you're not playing for the plot because you'll be severely disappointed.
Yeah. And I mean, confused. It's what?
Severely disappointed and confused.
Yeah, well, I kind of expect that out of Square these days. but it's kind of like Parasite Eve 2 minus the black hole of suck.
The reason the plot is so terrible is because Motomu Toriyama wrote the script like he did for 13, 13-2, and Lightning Returns.
Dungeon Buster says, I got back into playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance. That's a great game. I love Marvel Ultimate
Alliance. Yeah, too bad the sequel killed the franchise for the most part.
The sequel's okay. It wasn't.
No, great. The sequel was broken beyond repair.
Yeah, it was broken, but if you were lucky enough to get past those broken parts, it's a decent game. They should have patched it. Been better, but whatever. All right, is that it, Mug?
That's it for me.
All right.
More like Broken Alliance, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Stinkos of the week. Eric, do you have anything?
No.
All right. What about you, Break?
I've got a couple of Stinkos.
All right.
I'm going to go with this one first. I'm not going to really read this article. I'm just going to get into it. There was a fight earlier in this week that was shown on video where a group of kids basically surrounded one kid and they beat the crap out of this kid because it was 6-on-1 while another kid was sitting there filming. And, you know, a lot of people are watching this like, well, why didn't this other kid help? And why wasn't this kid fighting back? He was taking this beating. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is shitty. You know, this is something that shouldn't happen. The kid's getting jumped, but it's something that happens and then the kids are going to go to trial and whatever. So that's not really my stinko. What my stinko is... The kid that was watching and the kid that were taking a beating are both on the football team.
Oh boy.
They have been told that they are not allowed to fight. They can't even fight back, mm-hmm. or they'll be kicked off the team.
Well,
I've been doing a little looking around, checking. This is more of a common thing around the country than I ever realized.
Really?
No. Yeah. If they were to throw one punch in self-defense. Or the kid who was taping it would have came to help his friend, he would have been kicked off the football team. Questions asked.
This
it's the zero tolerance policy.
Yeah, this sets a very bad precedent. Like, I am not big on physical violence at all, but you know what? If you have to defend yourself, I'm all for defending
yourself. Or especially, like, you see your friend getting hurt.
Yeah. Like,
I would want to do everything I could to help my friend, you know?
Yeah. That's a bad precedent, man.
Yeah, it's the zero tolerance policies. There's a lot of those in schools today that are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, what else you got for us?
The other one goes to something that that was just happened. It was said in my city recently. Mm-hmm. If you're white and driving through Winton Terrace, chances are you're there to buy drugs. Mm. So said Winton Hills residents.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's apparently a popular thing going on perpetrated by this man here who says, if a Caucasian ain't walking their dog or jogging. They don't live here, said Ishak Coach Nadir. His nickname's Coach. He grew up in Avondale, and he plans to attend as many of the mayor's meetings. And this happened at a mayor's meeting trying to curb the black-on-black violence that's going on in most neighborhoods like Avondale and Winton Hoods, which are mostly black neighborhoods. I mean, they're probably like 80% black, 70% black, something like that. So there are other races that live in those neighborhoods. So this guy's racially profiling like it's no big deal.
Yeah, there is such a thing as the opposite break, like, you know, black people that racially profile like that. And that's
I don't think that's the opposite. That's just – it's racism.
Yeah. It's like they're – you know, reverse racism.
The opposite of racism would be to be not racist.
Right. No. I agree with you, Brake. There's no room for that shit, you know, at all. Like either way.
And this is something that like apparently like most of the people there agree with him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It was like no big deal.
It is
not even the mayor really said anything.
Yeah.
About it, like it's just okay. So you know, just because he's black and talking about white people, it's okay.
Yeah, it's
still
not okay.
It's still racial prejudice.
Yeah, it's not okay.
It doesn't help anybody by being racist against anybody else. You know,
I think what it stems from is like people are less inclined to get upset because it's from the minority. You know what I mean? And it's not right. It doesn't make it right, Brake. But I
mean, if I was, say, visiting family in Winton Hills, in his eyes, I'm a drug dealer. I'm there to buy drugs, you know?
That's a bunch of BS, man, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not true at all. Like,
I do have kind of a stink on that. I just remember something about the PSN sale. Apparently on the Square sale, some games are being listed even though they don't actually have discounts.
Oh,
like,
that sucks.
Like,
oh, that's fucking bullshit.
Like, you can get Dissidia Final Fantasy for $10, but Duodecim's still $20.
I think there was a precedent set for that, Eric. It actually was a big, if I remember correctly, years ago, but it was a precedent set by advertising. Like, if you advertise something in the paper, if it's on sale, it has to come attached with the word sale. So if there's no sale there, like if it doesn't say sale, then you're okay. Like I think there's a precedence there.
You can have like advertised prices.
Right. It's you can have advertised prices without having them on sale, and it's misleading for sure. Mug, do you have anything?
I don't really have anything this week.
All right. Well, I do. I'm excited about this one.
I'm sure you do.
And if anybody's listening to this show for the first time, yes, I defend white people all the time.
Yeah, you do.
But I defend every race, I think.
No,
I think I've come on here and complained about racism against minorities of all races, haven't I?
Well, I would hope so.
Have I, or is it just all about me?
No, I would hope
so. It's always all about you.
You're right, it is.
Damn. All right, here's mine. I've been excited to get to this. This is my stinko, but it's also my sweeto. I had the distinct pleasure of, and I don't know if I call it pleasure, because anytime you debate a young Earth creationist, you're giving them a platform. I kind of agree with Dawkins on the matter. Like if you debate them, you are giving them basically legitimizing their claims. You know that
I saw a tweet the other day that says, "Not only that, but you're also stalling for keeping a status quo."
Yeah, I agree with all that, but it was interesting to me because it's never happened, and I wanted to brush up on a little bit of my skills. I think it's good in that respect. Like if you get into a debate with these guys, there's no winning the debate because they have an answer for everything. Like there's nothing you can say that would convince these guys otherwise.
The only thing you can really do is hopefully plant the seeds of doubt, and they'll be confronted with it one day.
The only reason that I even began to debate with this guy is because he came up to me and he said something that irked me quite a bit. And I'll tell you how it went. All right, I'm sitting out in the front porch with Whippix. We're just enjoying our, you know, early evening and just sitting on our little, like, it's not, we don't exactly have a porch. I live in a townhome, but it doesn't have a porch. It's just like a little overhang with a couple of steps that you can sit on, right? And we're sitting there. We're just enjoying each other's company, not really paying attention to much. There's a few other people out and about. And it was just kind of a lovely night, you know. It was starting to become one of these you know, evenings that you just really enjoyed, you know, talking. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that with somebody, but it was just a nice evening. You know, it's just a break. Have you ever, like, you know, basically just sat outside or someplace with your girlfriend and just kind of chit-chatted about shit, you know? And it was just kind of cool, just kind of nice to connect on that level. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those days. So anyways, long story short, this guy, I mean...
Oh, wait, were you actually asking me a question? What just happened?
I was asking you if you've ever had one of those
days.
Yeah,
but you never, like, let me answer. You just kept going. No, I'm just sitting kinda, here like, what? No, Did I just get asked something?
I just
was that a rhetorical question?
I
what
just,
happened?
Well, you kind of... I mean, I don't know. I guess I just respect this. Expected a response a little bit quicker, but maybe it's just me fast talking to get through the story, man. But anyways, long story short, of all people that this dude chose to talk to, he decides to come up to me, right? I mean, in my mind, the absolute wrong person. He doesn't know me from, you know, from Jack next door or whatever, but he just picked the wrong person. And you know what? I was in a good mood too. I was in a good mood. I was talking to Wifix. We were having a good time. And he comes up to me and he says, you know, I just came up to you guys and wanted to hand you this. And he hands me a little... It's not a pamphlet. It's just a little like card, bigger than a business card, but basically, you know, said some stupid shit like, you know, Jesus can revive your heart. Gave the address of a church and an evangelical preacher, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. You know, big deal. You know, I'm not just gonna tear it up in his face and be an asshole because what's the point of that? You know, it's another human being. But anyways, he started talking to me and he started saying, you know, we'd really like to have you at the church. And I was like, you know, to be honest with you, we're really not religious. Right. I mean, kind of like a base statement. If I said that to you guys, what would you think? Maybe I'm an atheist. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm just an agnostic. Maybe,
no, we'd be really hurt, Frank.
What? Oh, you're the devil, Frank.
Right. Okay.
Monster.
Okay. Here we go.
You're Bob.
This is what irked me, okay? He after I told him that, you know, we weren't really religious, he goes, you know, I used to be into witchcraft too. And I'm like,
holy water at
you? No, you said we just said we aren't religious. What part of that do you not understand?
Oh, dude, this is it just kind of irked me, right? So I'm like, okay, you know, I've never really dealt with these type of people in this manner. I've always been very kind. I've always said, you know, in my view, the right things, you know, like, hey, you know, thanks for coming out. You know, I appreciate it, but we're not really religious. Like, I'm not an asshole. Like, I'm not like I am on this show. I'm a dick on this show. You know, if you see me in real life, I'm a little bit different. Right. So anyways, it just irked me. You know, he equated me and my family to a bunch of witchcraft worshiping devils, pretty much like what Breakman said. You're the devil, you know. Yeah. So I'm
and he threw horror water on you, right?
I half expected it, to be honest with you, Break. But anyways, I
actually wouldn't only holy water be carried by Catholics?
I don't know. Whatever. So anyways,
the power of Christ compels you.
Exactly.
The power of Christ compels you.
Just something in me just kind of irked me, you know. So I had to find out more from this guy, and I was like, you know, are you? In looking at his little card, I said, are you a literalist, like a Bible literalist, or are you an interpretist? You know, because that's a very specific question. I have to know who I'm dealing with before I talk to him. If you're an interpretist, at least you're a little more reasonable, right? If you're a literalist, then you believe everything in the Bible is true, 100% came from God, and that's the way it is, right? Well, to my, I guess, chagrin or to my delight, he said literalist. So I'm like, okay, I know what I'm dealing with now. My next question to him was, so you believe that the earth is 6,000 years old? And his response was, yes, the earth is 6,000 years old. And I was like,
wow, those people.
Yeah, exactly. And I was taken aback. I had never, ever in all my years run into a Bible literalist. So I was like, oh boy, this is going to be like, like, like taking candy from a baby, pretty much. You know,
I know someone at work who said that he believed the Earth was at least 10,000 years old. So that's not quite 6,000.
It's pretty close. That's still. I mean, so anyways, I told him, you know, you understand that the fossil carbon dating system has placed fossils like millions of years old. And he proceeded to tell me –
Oh, but carbon dating's not reliable.
That's what he said. He started in with that. And I said, okay, let's take your hypothesis into account here. You know, you don't think carbon dating is reliable. I said, let me give you an analogy. You know, when they do these political polls, they give you a plus and minus, right? They give you, you know, this person is leading this candidate by 10% plus or minus 3%, right? So the margin of error is what I was getting at, is a 3%. So let's say that, you know, the carbon dating system is off by, I don't know, you could even say 10 million years, right? A plus margin, that seems fairly reasonable, right? So if the Earth, in my view, is billions of years old, 10 to 25 million years is absolutely nothing. He said, well, if you take how many years it's off by each year, then you would get down to about 6,000 years using his stupid math. To me, when he was saying that, it was akin to saying, you know, every phone number contains 666. Well, you can attain the number 666 from any seven numbers, pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty easy. Like if you take anybody's phone numbers and you take, you know, 9 minus 5, that's 4, and you add the 2 that's on the end there, that's a 6, and then if you take the 6, that there's another 6. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just twisted logic is what I'm getting at here. So he was basically saying that carbon dating could prove his theory that the Earth was 6,000 years old. And I'm like, you're not even going to go with the God of the Gaps theory. You're just going to go straight to carbon dating sucks.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like,
well, even without carbon dating, there's a bunch of other dating methods we can use.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Carbon dating is one method for one specific range of time. Mm-hmm. It's like, then, but I mean, there are several other dating methods that check for other ranges. And the thing is, it's not just one. It's just we do all of these methods, and when all the results converge on a single time period, then you know you have a good solid result.
Right. Right.
Did he use the appearance of age argument?
No, we didn't get time. We didn't.
Where God basically tricked us all into thinking that the Earth is actually older than what it is.
No.
Oh, is that what happened? Well, now it all makes sense.
You know, yeah. because to be honest with you, if he would have went that route, I would have dug even further. But I wanted to go from topic to topic because if you give these people any length of time, and I, you know, it's been a long time since I debated somebody on biblical studies. So I mean, it's been years.
You'll get it. I mean, if you give them any time at all, you'll get a gish gallop out of them.
Right. You'll get a litany of excuses. Right. That's what you're getting at, Mug. Right.
Basically, like a gish gallop is when they just rattle off a whole bunch of different things, and they expect you to debunk every single one of them.
So my tact was to throw a bunch of shit in his court and let him do that, right? I was basically using the reverse psychology aspect. So I'm like, okay, let's move on from that. What do you feel about A, B, and C, right? And I threw out things like what was the other thing I threw out? Like the story in the Bible about Lot and his daughters, and I threw out about the story of Jonah and the whale, and I threw out, you know.
Well, technically, I think it was supposed to be a fish. Fish.
We talked about that. I was like, and I even told him, I was like, you know, depending on you, on who you talk to, it's either Jonah and the whale or Jonah and the big fish. It doesn't matter for our purposes. So basically, I kid you not, guys, this is his explanation for Jonah and the big fish. I said, don't you think that it would be impossible for somebody to survive in a big fish's stomach for 3 days underwater?
Let alone couple minutes.
Right. Yeah. So what his thing to me was, well, there was you know, to be honest with you, whales have to come up for air every 12 hours, which
yeah, but the cavity in their mouth isn't that large.
Right.
The thing is, it's like, you know, it's not like, you know, the stomach of creatures is not like a bladder. You know, it doesn't fill with air. It's like it's compressed, as you know, because it, you know, the body doesn't need to have that much space taken up.
Well, here's my response, because I'm not a marine biologist. I don't know how long it is. I know.
Do you play one on TV?
Anatomy.
But I play one on TV, exactly, Brake. But here's what I said to him. I was like, you know, in my view, it would be impossible even for 12 hours to be inside a whale's mouth. Like, it would just be literally impossible. So let's move on from that. I said there's another story.
You'd be digested in minutes, if not seconds.
I said there's another story in the Bible about, and I don't know which verse. It's been a while since I read it, and I have read it, you know, several times. But there's a Bible verse which explains a story about an old man who was walking up a hill, and these teenagers or young boys, men, whatever, you know, whichever interpretation you – and he made sure to point out it was young men. So I'm like, okay, let's go with that. Young men. There was a couple of young men that were giving this guy a hard time because of his bald head. Go forth, thou
yes,
bald –
Ah, yes, the bears.
Yeah.
The only way you could survive in something like a fish or something, if it were like Majin Buu, where he has a completely separate dimension inside of his stomach.
Right. Dungeon Buster says a fish is a metaphor because no one knew how to describe nuclear subs back then. Exactly. There you go. But here's the story. Basically, there's a couple of boys or young men that give a guy a hard time because he has a bald head, right? An older man that – and I said, you know what? To be honest with you, I don't think that's right either. I don't think that young men should be bothering old men, talking to them. I mean, you know, telling them they have bald heads. You know, I mean, I'm sure Mug has to deal with that all the time. You know,
what an asshole.
Go forth.
What an asshole dick move that was.
What? I'm just saying. You know,
I'm just saying.
Anyways. So I said, you know what? I would think it was rude. I would think it was wrong. But in the Bible, the story goes that God – I'm pretty sure I'm correct in this, Mug. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And I told the guy, you know, if there's anything inaccurate that I'm saying, you can correct me if I'm wrong too. God sends down 43 female bears, right?
She-bears.
Bears that, you know, are very voracious and very they are not known for their niceties, right? Bears, right? Yeah. Actual bears, like the animal.
And all the kids.
Right, and he sent those two bears.
God's murder. Yay.
He sent those two bears to not only kill the two young men that were giving the bald man a hard time, but all the kids in the area, just to prove a point. I said, that's a fair and just God in your view. First of all, that actually happened.
That's not God, that's a devil.
Right. That actually happened, for one. You believe that that actually happened. And for two, you think that's okay. So nowadays, if I saw somebody giving somebody a hard time, that guy should be put to death because he insulted somebody. And he says, well, it's the word of God. It's good enough for me. So I said, that's basically everything I need.
Because you can't think for yourself.
did you say put him to death for insulting somebody?
I
got to go.
I was going to say, I think Frank needs to be put to death for insulting me.
Oh, or vice versa, Mug. You need to
get insulting us.
I have never once insulted you, Frank.
Oh, get out of here, Mug.
The only thing I have ever done is speak the truth.
Oh, get you son of a bitch. Get the fuck out of here. You're exiled.
And you too. Give him a soundtrack.
So
yes.
The way it went, like, there's no getting around it. And finally, the way it ended is, you know, I was like, I told him, I said, you know, if you go, come up to somebody and you want to try to convert them or get them to go to your church, the way to go about it is don't bring up the witchcraft story, because I don't believe in witchcraft. I don't believe in the devil, just like I don't believe in God, and neither does my family. So if you want somebody like me to be more open to your ideas, you need to pitch it a little different and get your story a little different. Not all of us worship the devil. Not all of us are into witchcraft and shit like that. So,
should we have atheist tracks?
I don't know, man. But so I told them.
Or do the atheist challenge a lot more.
This is how it went, dude. This is exactly how it went. I told them, I said, you know, you need to be a little more rational. As soon as I said, you need to be a little more rational, you know what he told me? He said, you know what? don't question my intelligence. I have a college degree. And I said, you have a college degree? I was like, first of
in
all,
what?
I'm stunned.
Biblical studies, right?
Right. I said, first, he mentioned it. It was like philosophy or something. I can't remember. It was legit. Like,
that's just about the same.
It was a legit degree. Whatever it was a legitimate degree. It wasn't like, you know, theology or anything religious based. You know, it was a legit degree. I said, I don't care if you have a degree. I wasn't questioning your intelligence. You can be intelligent without having.
Although now that you have said that, now I am questioning your intelligence.
I don't have a degree, but I can tell I'm a million. I didn't tell him this, but I could tell I was a lot more intelligent than this guy because there was no rationality, no reason with this guy. You know, he was just the way that he was because he felt that that's the way that he was.
Usually to get a degree, they give you tests and you have to give them the answers that they wanted.
Right, exactly.
Just saying.
Here's the deal. I forgot to mention that he told me that the reason he converted into his faith was because the guy came up to him just like he came up to me, and the guy told him, you know, pray for anything, and, you know,
pray to your God and pray to this box of cereal. And,
yeah,
you know,
no, no, no.
Results will be the same.
He said, pray for you. You know, think of something in your mind you want to, and we'll
He's
pray for it.
He's basically sold them a secret.
Hold on, pray for it, and it'll happen. So he said that he.
Dear prayed Lord, for, can I have $10 billion? Right. Amen.
He said,
I'm waiting.
I prayed for somebody to call me at 3 o'clock in 3 days, and guess what? Somebody in 3 days called him.
Because that's when people usually call you.
Yeah, I know. It's stupid. But anyways, and then he said the guy came back after I told him how miraculous that was. And he said, okay, I want you to pray for anything else, you know, something that means a lot to you. Pray for something. And he said to me, I prayed for God to take everything away from me. And I stopped him and I said, that's a really odd thing to ask. You could pray for anything. You could pray for $1 million. You could pray for, you know, your health. Or why did you pray for that? He said, because I wanted there to be absolute proof that there was a God. So if a God would take everything away from me, which he did, he took away my girlfriend broke up with me. I, you know, lost my job, and he was going on and on how God took my car broke down. Like, he was naming all these things that just all of a sudden happened, right? And so that was his epiphany. That was him saying, okay, this is real, and now I got to go out and try to convert 50 million other people, which, by the way, the story is absolute horseshit. If any of that happened, it was coincidental. Because.
And plus, I guarantee you, he's thinking God needs to take all this stuff away, and then he's doing all kinds of stuff to make it happen.
Right.
He's like,
subconsciously,
he starts being a dick to his girlfriend.
Yep.
He's neglecting his car.
Right.
And yeah, it's just bullshit.
Right. It's
like,
all coincidental.
And the thing is, not just that. The simple fact is that your memory is not a reliable record.
Yeah.
It's still an anecdote.
Right.
Well, what happened to the $10 billion? Apparently, when I prayed for it, I did get it, but Trump has it because according to Dungeon Buster, it was misdirected in the Celestial Wish Granting Department.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man, that's so funny. That's good. But basically, that's how it ended. I basically
told
him,
you won the lottery and you got the money, but
aliens took it
because the government needs to do corporate welfare. They repossessed it anyway.
So it wasn't like My Name Is Earl, where I'm running through the street and I get hit by a car and somebody else gets my lottery ticket.
Right. So here's the deal. Like, at the end, I told him, I was like, you know, change your pitch up a little bit. You might be onto something because it ain't going to work with people like me when you start comparing me and my family to, you know, witchcraftians and devil worshippers and all that type of shit. It just – it's tacky, I told him. And I said, I'm not questioning your intelligence. You have a degree, so you have to have some form of intelligence. But I do question your motives behind going out and converting people. That's – you know, it's just weird to me, and your pitch is off and weird. So – you know, just keep that in mind in your further travels. But good luck to you. And you know, and he was stunned. He didn't know what to say, and he just kind of turned away, and that was it. So, yeah. You know, And then he got on the phone. He immediately got on the phone with somebody, which probably was his pastor.
Dear Lord, I just talked to this monster. I think I met Satan himself, Lord.
I mean, he's looking for affirmations of what he already believes.
Yeah, and that's – I wasn't going to give it to him for sure. You know, all I did was point out some stories that stick in my mind as some of the most atrocious – like Lot and his daughters, I pointed out. Like you know, there's stories.
Or
in the
Abraham.
Bible. Stories in the
anything
Bible.
Anything involving Abraham.
I forgot about Abraham. I should have brought that up. But
like when you brought up Lot and his daughters, did you also bring up the fact that they got him drunk to get pregnant by him?
I did bring that up, and they said he said, "Well, that's free will. You know, they did that of their own volition."
Yeah. And I love when they mentioned free will, and it's like, oh, okay, where in the Bible does it mention that?
Yeah, I know.
Because it doesn't.
It never like mentioned
it. The only place where anything even remotely akin to that is mentioned is when there's the thing with the plagues of Egypt, where God says he will harden Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh cannot let the Jews go.
Yeah.
And well, that's the only thing where that's anything like that is ever mentioned. It's like, that seems to me that's kind of determinism.
And he did make light of the fact that I was bringing up some Old Testament.
So he hardened Pharaoh's heart just so that Moses would have a justification for running away from them.
Yeah. So basically that he could show off and show, like, hey, check out how badass a god I am.
Right. Well, that's what I told him,
so
too.
So how hardened it? Was it like cholesterol or what?
I thought you weren't supposed to tempt God.
No. Well, the point was I was trying – and I also told him –
wait, that's
like,
New Testament.
Know,
that's right.
I also told him that it's funny because non-believers really do keep an open mind. Like as hardened of an atheist as I am, I keep an open mind. You know, I don't believe in the will.
Like,
but
what I don't understand is why you're an atheist. Like, you were back in Jesus' times. You met him. You hung out with him. I just don't get it.
Right. Well, I did mention to him that
we're
he believes
the 13th apostle. I mean,
this is what I did mention to him. I said, you believe the earth is 6,000 years old, but there are texts older than 6,000 year old. And there's also religions that are older than Christianity. And, you know, for God to just let those religions run rampant, I said, how can you believe any one religion? You know, how do I know that Islam isn't the correct religion or Mormonism or –
oh, my God. What if ISIS is right?
Right. Or even like Buddhism or Hinduism. How are those not the correct – he's like, oh, you're talking about the will, you know, the that everything is on a will. And I said, you know, call it what you like, but – not even you're sure of your own religion, man. Like nobody is truly sure of anything. So, you know, you can't tell me that yours is the one. You know,
the one thing they always go on to is faith. Like, it's so hard to have faith in. Like, what am I supposed to have faith in? A book?
Well, I told them.
I've never seen a miracle.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there's this it's a text exchange. From like an iPhone or something, but where it's like, you know, it's like, I don't get how you can believe in this stuff where it's like, you know, all of these gods, all man-made, and the believer says, you know, all man-made except one, and the guy basically says, you know, that's what the followers of every religion say. Mm-hmm. And the basic, like, there's all these responses that the guy says, and it just keeps going, like, where he says, that's what the followers of all religions say.
Right.
Like, well, every single response you give, it's like, that's what the followers of all
religions
say.
I gave him some stuff to think about, like the leprechaun in the box kind of thing that Matt Dillahunty had presented to somebody.
Is that kind of like Schrodinger's?
I don't know, man. But it's Matt Dillahunty was way more eloquent when I talked about leprechaun. When he talked about Leprechaun in the Box, and it was on the nonprofits. There's a video on YouTube. You could check it out. It's really good, really, really potent way to debate people when talking about religion. But anyways, I gave him that scenario. I also gave him the scenario of infinite hell. Like, in my opinion, like, even the worst criminal ever doesn't deserve – you know, there's a certain point when even that person – deserves to not be punished anymore.
You know, that, I mean, it's like infinite punishment for finite crimes.
Finite crime. That's right.
It's like,
that's,
you know, even
finite
Hitler
crimes
not
perpetrated by completely imperfect brains.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like you, like, you
even
mentioned,
Hitler does not deserve infinite punishment.
I bring it up all the time, and people are kind of perplexed by it. But you mentioned it, Hitler. Like, Hitler probably to me was one of the worst people ever. You know, to be on this earth, and
he's all right, but Madonna's pretty bad.
Yeah, okay, let's use Madonna. Like, there's a certain point, like when even Hitler in hell, like you're like, okay, you know what? It's a billion years. I think he, you know, the punishment fits the crime now. Like, that's enough. You know what I mean? Like, that to me, like that. That's no. There's no good in a God that just wishes that upon anybody, you know. That just, to me, it's just ridiculous. And then I didn't even get into like people that are completely innocent, like babies that are supposedly born with sin, and you know, like this, like they deserve to be in hell for the rest of their life.
Cause don't forget Harlequin babies.
Yeah, well,
that's
whatever.
Proof there's no God.
I don't know. It just, I brought up a bunch of scenarios for this guy to contemplate and think about, and it's you know, it's kind of wasted breath. He's one of these guys that thinks everybody other than his evangelical counterparts are devil worshipping, you know, harlots. And I took exception to it. And that's the reason why I debated the guy. He was just that way. That was also my sweeto, because I'm like, you know, I hardly ever get a chance to do this, you know. So,
oh yeah, we were still on Stinkos.
Yeah. You know. So yeah. The show's
nearly over. Yeah.
I know. All right, Moria, I don't see you have anything in the sweeto.
Well, that's partially my fault. We have at least 15 extra minutes.
That's right. Do you have anything, Moria?
Lots and lots of sex. I'll go with the sweeto.
Oh, sweet. that's always good.
I haven't had any, so I'm jealous.
Break?
Making up for lost time, I'm guessing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Break.
My sweeto goes to I don't know if you, how much of my and Eric's conversation everybody heard last week. I think we started talking about the DBZ after the show.
Mm-hmm. No, I think
no,
we
didn't.
Before.
What, yeah. Was it still on the show when we started talking about it?
I think it was before you guys talked about
it. We didn't really talk about it.
A little bit. You
about,
guys talked about where it
being
was.
Able to see it, because you were saying that you're going to go see it, and I said, unfortunately, you know, I don't have the ability. And yeah. I think it was after the show, you started listing off the movie theaters to play it, and you listed off one that was new to my area. It's only been here about a year. Mm. And I'm like, well, they are here. So I went and looked, and we were talking about it after the show, I'm pretty sure. And I saw that DBZ was actually playing at this movie theater. It's just right down the road from me. Mm. So for the first time ever, I got to see a DBZ movie on the big screen. Mm. It was a freaking awesome movie, by the way. I absolutely loved the movie.
Did you see Battle of Gods?
I did see Battle of Gods. And I know there was discussion, me, you, and some other people. And apparently everybody really loves Battle of Gods. I was kind of like... Okay,
I think they're about the same. They just deliver two completely different experiences.
I personally like this one a lot more.
Some people like that experience more over than the other.
Yeah. So what's your sweeto break?
Well, my sweeto is that usually in Cincinnati, things like this, because we don't have access to. So like a limited release movie or like the biggest rap group artists, you know, they usually don't come to this city. That's something that's starting to change in recent years, and just this is one of the things. So it's pretty awesome to be able to go
that's
to see really something
cool,
like this.
Man.
Although I really kind of hated Fathom Events ticket prices for the film. Mm. It was like $11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was steep.
Yeah. We'll hear a little bit more. Eric's got hopefully a quick review of Dragon Ball Z coming up. But Eric, you're sweet old dude.
My sweet of you is finding out that Rick Perry is dropping out of the race because he's broke.
Yeah, well, he sucks anyways. He's one of the worst.
Yeah, not to mention he has an indictment, so I'm sure that didn't help his campaign. Yeah,
indictment, you mean?
Indictment.
Yeah.
What did you say he had?
Indictment. Well, he probably indictment? Has an indictment, too.
But, yeah, he probably has that.
All right, Eric.
Can we call this show indictment?
Right, indictment.
Yeah. I joked on Twitter with someone and said he probably should have prayed for rain dance. A little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Rick Perry he was notorious for praying for rain and stuff like that in Texas. I remember that.
Then blaming current events on not having rain.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, I'm still waiting for that $10 billion. Yep. Amen.
There you go. Maybe by the end of the show, you'll get that break. All right, Eric.
I think Donald Trump got the last $10 billion. I'm thinking maybe I'll get this $10 billion.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Eric. I know you have reviews of MI3, 4, and 5, but those are old-ass movies, dude.
They're basically the same movie. The story is only just slightly different, but it's still action-packed. I like Ghost Protocol more than I like 3, and I didn't see 1 or 2, and I because I took someone's suggestion to just skip those and went straight 3 and 4.
I love the original and hated the sequel. I'll just say that.
Rogue Nation, it was all right. I thought that for Ghost Protocol is still better because they did a lot more interesting stuff in it.
Mm. All right, Dragon Ball Z, Eric. What do you give Dragon Ball
Resurrection Z? F. Well, if you want a one-word review or actually two-word review.
Two-word.
I have to go with what Vegeta said in the movie. It's cheese.
It's cheese. Is it good, though? Like, is the story at least semi-coherent?
A lot of people probably like this movie a lot more than Battle Gods because it had more action in it. There's just a lot of talking really going on in Battle of Gods because they're trying to build up to the point of Goku's new base power level where he's probably not even going to go Super Saiyan 2 or 3 anymore, and it's probably just going to be his new blue hair form.
I think so, too. I don't know. There's more story in the new and this one and Battle of the Gods in the old Dragon Ball Z movies.
There's some things that some people probably won't get though because they probably haven't taken the time to read Dragon Ball Chapter Zero, which is a spinoff that was created after the introduction of another spinoff called Jocko the Galactic Patrolman, where he's never read the story. You can buy Jocko, but I don't know if you can buy Chapter Zero of Dragon Ball.
Yeah. So what do you give in Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F, Eric?
The one thing I thought was first I wanted to commentate on something that I thought was funny in the movie. Basically, there's a part where Tien Shin Han said that he didn't drag Yamcha or Chiaotzu with him because they thought they wouldn't be that great of a fight for the battle that they were going to engage in. But Roshi's there along with Krillin. I mean, I know Krillin's been training, so he's probably powerful than the two that were mentioned, but either Roshi was training along with him and he's actually caught up, or it was that much of a sick burn.
I think it was more that Roshi's immortal.
Well, he's immortal, but he's not especially strong.
I know, but he's immortal, and that's the point. Like, Chiaotzu isn't immortal. And that's why I think Roshi gets that pass all the time.
Yeah, but Roshi has been killed though. He's been killed by Piccolo.
Right, but he can't age. He's not like he's at that, like, I forget what it was, but
I'm beginning to think that his buffed up form is his normal form, and he, like Frieza, goes into the shriveled form to conserve energy.
I like Krillin, so I like that he got a lot of play in this movie, personally. I like that there's more character development, there's more story plot.
Bulma has a sister named Tights. But that was weird. I think her sister showed up in Jocko or Chapter Zero, so that's why it's kind of weird. Because like in Battle of Gods... In Battle Gods, they made mention to a reference to Vegeta's brother Tobble,
which is what I was about to say.
Who's in the Jump special that was never brought to the U.S. in any form.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
That was just a weird.
But I'm going to give this movie an 8.5.
8.5. Oh, that's.
I think this movie was funnier. Like the laughs in this movie were legitimately funny compared to some of the other Dragon Ball Z movies. I think. Yeah. And I love.
There's a lot more jokes rather than. Pilaf and his crew doing antics.
Yes, that's true.
I tried watching a lot of the Dragon Ball early shit, you know, Dragon Ball Z early shit.
But oh yeah, that's another good thing. There's no powering up bullshit in this movie. It just happens.
You should watch Kai. Kai basically it gets
I would not recommend watching Kai, but it's not bad. It's just not for me.
No, it's a lot of people that don't like the original Dragon Ball Z don't like that there's so much. It drags and drags and drags. And a lot of that is because, like you said, they were writing the anime while making – or they're writing the manga while making the anime.
Yeah, but that's still too slow for you because you can always read the manga, which is even faster.
Yeah. Yeah. But I say Kai because it skips a lot of the point where like – a lot of the stuff that will happen in the original Dragon Ball Z is they'll be on planet Namek and they'll go back to Earth and Chi-Chi's worried about her son and her husband. They skip all that. They don't worry about what's going back on Earth when you're on Namek.
Yeah.
That thing.
Dungeon Buster says –
they get to the point.
Dungeon Buster said he liked Ghost Protocol more than Rogue Nation. Rogue was still good, but Ghost Protocol seemed to have much better team stuff. And then I said –
yeah, another thing I didn't like about Rogue Nation compared to Ghost Protocol is that the team wasn't exactly diverse. It was all guys.
Yeah, that's kind of what Dungeon Buster was alluding to. He said – I said I want to see Rogue, but I really want to see Straight Outta Compton. That came out today. I
want to see that too, yes.
I really want
to
see that.
I've heard it's really good.
He says see Shaun the Sheep, which I heard was really good too. I said I want to see that, but I really, really want to see Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to see that movie. But back to Dragon Ball, like
– yep.
I highly recommend this movie, but you really do have to see Battle of the Gods because this, unlike any other Dragon Ball Z movie, is a direct sequel to the last one.
Mm. All right, that's cool. I have a really quick review of a movie called The Gift. I highly recommend, if you guys haven't seen this movie, see it. If you don't see it at the theater, don't worry. It's not one of those big, you know, blockbuster that you should see at the movie theater on the big screen. You can see it on video or on demand or whatever. It's a great movie. It has a great ending. One of the coolest endings you'll see in almost any movie. It's really good. It's a treasure. It's a diamond in the rough. You should definitely check out The Gift. It's with Jason Bateman and Joel Edgerton. And I can't remember the lady's name.
Spoiler alert. The Gift is his penis.
No, it is
not. Oh, never mind then. Sorry.
That's a different
movie. That was a weird Dr. Horrible reference.
I know. That was like, yeah, I was like, the hammer is my penis.
But again, we're not going to have time for free for all this guy this week, guys. So that sucks, but that's how it
goes. I think we had enough free for all when we talked about your encounter.
Yeah. Mm. And I'd like to hear from any feedback from people. Like I didn't
who
do myself.
Have had a similar experience to me?
I didn't do myself or the guy justice because he was actually a pretty
good
dude.
Was your family there or was it just you?
You know, Wiffix was there for a short time, but she could tell the guy was just
– she couldn't take him anymore and had to walk away.
You know, but Wiffix
– kids.
Wiffix is super, super savvy. She actually was the one that quickly hit the record button on her iPhone, but the recording didn't come out as well as I wanted. Otherwise, that would have been really good. Like you guys – I would have.
Oh, damn you, Apple.
Yeah.
It was God's fault. He did it.
Yeah, it was Jesus' fault. But anyways, just remember, everybody, Jesus loves you, okay? That's what I'm going to say.
Everyone else
Frank should know he met him.
Yeah, right.
Jesus loves you. Everyone else thinks you're an asshole.
Son of a bitch. You mug, you are exiled, my good friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's it. Oh, man, that's fucked up. Dungeon Buster, Head for Saturn. Huh? That's a Ice Cube reference there. But anyways, that's all the time we got for today, guys. I give The Gift a 9 out of 10. It's almost a perfect movie. It's great. It takes a little. My only complaint: it takes a little while to get going. But man, it's a.
Is
good
it
movie.
A horror movie or is it like suspense or?
It's more of a suspense. Like I would put it in a suspense type movie, but not.
It's not
like,
playing any of the local theaters.
I guess a creeping suspense movie is the way that I. Not a suspense movie like you're on edge all the time. You're on edge for different reasons.
Not suspense like The Fugitive.
No, not like that. It's not an exciting.
That's not really
suspense.
Is it?
I would say it's it's suspense, man. It's pretty good.
I don't know. Like, I guess because I saw some of the show, I was never in fear of him being caught.
Yeah. Well,
and maybe that's it.
But anyways, I highly recommend it. Check it out. That's my plug. Oh, wickedradionetwork.com. Check out RP Grinders, all that stuff. Guys, it's time for plugs. Let's start with you, Eric. Well, we started with me, but Eric, go ahead.
Plugs. Oh, I know a good example of suspense first. What about The Game?
Yeah, it's better than The Game for sure. Mm. That's a good suspense movie, but yeah, this one's better. Basic Instinct.
The Fan?
The Fan's a good suspense movie. Cape Fear is a suspenseful
one. Oh, yeah.
Cape Fear's anyways, a good one. For plugs, you can find reviews of Adalas on VogNetwork.com. Hopefully tomorrow or Sunday. The other review I have on Onichanbara Z2 Chaos is going to be put up as well. And there's a review of My Little Monster up on Boston Bachelor Brigade.
Is that about your penis?
No, that's an anime.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Anything else?
Is it an anime about your penis?
I might have mentioned that last week, but I think it's up now.
Anything else, Eric? Hopefully not about your penis?
There's the other sites that write reviews for, like The Apostle Gamer. I put up a review for another Arrow Gay RPG game called Itchy Mary and the Perils of the Cosmic Shrine.
Are there any good games of that ilk, Arrow Gay games?
Of the more visual novel variety, you mean?
Maybe.
I'd have to think of some and tell you later.
Right. But, yeah, the fact that you have to think is not a good sign.
Yeah.
Or no, it's just I'm thinking because most of them are Windows.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you're smart, unlike me, where it takes me like 5 minutes to think about stuff.
And we're running out of time, so I can't really, you know.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Eric? Or is that it?
And I won't mention the other review sites. All yeah, right. But you can also find me on YouTube, Funny T Man. I didn't get around to doing a Kirby video, but I'll hopefully do it this week because the game I'm playing, at the point I'm at, I'm about halfway through, and I'm pretty sure I have a good feel for what I think about it. All so right. I'll get to reviewing it, plus more review could come in anyway, so I have no time for it right now. But, all right. I'll probably do a video early in the morning so I can get that belted out and hopefully finished Kirby's Adventure.
All right. All right. Mug, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. It's at Moriamug, MoriaMug.
All right. Break, anything you want to plug?
You can follow Break_Man at RB Grinders, at Stealth. I know one day he'll show up again and ___ and yeah, go on.
I want to plug my – I recorded already with Revel and Friends Let's Chat podcast, but it hasn't showed up just yet, probably because I'm just too awesome. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But yeah,
you broke the stream.
Check that out when it comes out, the Let's Chat podcast featuring myself. And go see Straight Outta Compton. I really want that movie to succeed so there could be more movies like it in the future. I think NWA is one of the most important bands of all time for a bunch of different reasons. But make sure you check out Straight Outta Compton. Go see The Gift. And
Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, check out
crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube.
Check out
the gang calls niggas with attitude.
Check out. I'm gonna hang up on you, Mug. Check out. The only reason you're getting a pass on that is because it's NWA. Man. That's
what's funny is that it actually. That I'm not just making that shit up. There is actually a cover that sounds like that.
All right, that's make sure awesome. You check out rpgrinders.com and wickedradionetwork.com. Check out all the new shows there. And I think that's about it. Until next week. Oh, and thank you, Dungeon Buster, for being in chat. That was really cool. Thank you, sir. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back all here next week. Until then, guys, we are out.
I also want to plug Moria didn't get booted this week.
Moria didn't get what?
He didn't get kicked this week.
Oh, yeah, he didn't get kicked. He did not get kicked. Man, that's strange. I don't understand.
It is unusual.
Yeah, it is unusual. I just hung up on Mug.